Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Beyond the To-Do List. I'm your host, Eric Fisher, and this is the show where we talk to the people behind the productivity. This week, it's my privilege to welcome back to the show Ryan McCray. Ryan has been on the show twice before, once talking about ADHD, and the other time was earlier this year when he and I sat down to talk about setting resolutions, which a lot of people say you shouldn't do. This time, Ryan's here to talk all about taking a 3-day productivity retreat and the why behind that and the how behind that. He and I talk through all 3 days, what you need to do to prepare for it, what you need to do on each of the days, how each day differs from the other, how to stay focused as you go through the retreat to get things done. There's even some cross-referencing to the productivity pub crawl episode that I did a few months ago, which if you haven't listened to is in the show notes for this episode, which you will find at beyondthetodolist.com/178. Taking a productivity retreat could be a huge benefit to you. It's this set aside time to have almost a crash course or a flurry of activity and focused activity and even reflection where you get stuff done that you've been putting off or need to get done now, and or forecasting some vision for yourself in the future. What's funny is I literally just saw a picture of Ryan at a conference where he's kind of semi-hugging Seth Godin, and they both have these weird smiley faces on their face. And that made me think of the fact that Seth Godin's Alt-MBA workshop is enrolling now for the summer and fall. And much like the productivity retreat, this is an immersive jump all the way in, interact with some other people from all over of a high caliber and quality of work ethic, and work on shipping and getting your stuff done over a short period of time. And yes, just like a productivity retreat, it can be challenging, but worth it. People who have done this Alt-MBA workshop, which has a 96% completion rate, which that still feels a little unbelievable to me. But then I think that it's Seth Godin and I realize, yeah, that's probably true. People take his stuff seriously and he promotes and creates great stuff. So if you want to get your hands dirty and get hands on and learn to really ship your work with practical projects, the Alt-MBA workshop is for you. They're now accepting applications for their upcoming session. And to find out more, just visit altmba.com/to-do. And if you would like special consideration in your application, you can mention this podcast and let them know I sent you. Again, that's altmba.com/to-do. Go apply now. And on that note, enjoy this conversation about productivity retreats with Ryan McCray. This week, it is my privilege to welcome back to the show Ryan McCray. Ryan, so glad you're here.
Oh, glad to be here, man.
So it's always fun when you're back because people really loved your first episode. And then in this year of 2017, lots of people have reached out to me and said, hey, there was a guy, he was talking about resolutions at one point. Like, which episode was that? It must have stuck with them enough to want to go back and listen to it again. So that was one that you came back on at the beginning of the year or late last year. It was kind of that crossover, you know, the transitioning the calendar year.
Right.
But today we're going to talk about something that I don't think people really consider, although I love this idea, which is a productivity retreat.
Yes. 3-day productivity retreat.
So that's my first question. Why 3 days?
I think when you go on a retreat, it takes a little while for your body, your brain, your heart to just realize it's in a different place. And to kind of detox from the day-to-day stuff you have going on. So I've kind of helped design a retreat that helps you just really get your productivity fired up. Whether you're working on a big project or you just feel behind in everything, I think it's just a great way to kind of restart the engine when you're kind of lagging behind.
You know, recently I did an episode with a friend of mine and we talked about, oh man, I'm feeling behind. I feel like I've got to set aside some more time to get more done. And we called it the productivity pub crawl. We kind of took stuff.
Right.
Yeah, we took stuff away from that experiment that we did a couple of different times and kind of pulled it into our regular work week. This is a little bit different because you're retreating to potentially somewhere completely different for an extended period of time almost, maybe. Or is it something that you could maybe do a staycation version of too?
You could do a staycation version of it. I did the old rent the Airbnb and just get out of Dodge to kind of let my brain know, like, hey, we're in a new location and we're going to be doing something different. But you absolutely could do this if you were at home.
And so, again, 3 days, some people might think, I don't know if I can afford that. I don't know that I can, well, one, afford it time-wise, two, afford it money-wise. But I think they'd be surprised that, you know, this is one of those things where, like, for example, we talked to all these productivity people, me and Mike Vardy and a few others, and it's all like, you know, hey, set up your system or set up, you know, you invest the time up front to set up the new thing, the new system, the new software, the new hardware, whatever, so that by spending that, you know, however many, you know, that compressed amount of time up front, it then over the course of time in the future, after that point, you've got this much easier or much more efficient workflow. And I assume that's what this kind of is.
Yeah, it is. And we break it down into like 3 days. Right. So 3 day productivity retreat. And so the first thing you do is make sure you have all the like the stuff you need. So you've got a wall calendar, the books you might need to reference, depending on what project you're working on. Maybe you're working on a very long article, or maybe you're trying to get that poetry book or that coding school out the door.
Or a bunch of podcast editing.
Or a bunch of podcast editing. All the pens, papers, and Sharpies you can manage. I brought a ton of snacks, but I try to avoid all the carbs. That's something I learned from your pub crawl. You guys were like, oh, we too much on the carbs early morning. Like you guys had that big breakfast and kind of like it kind of shipwrecked it. And then just plenty of water. And I'm a huge coffee drinker. So I make sure I have my AeroPress with me. And then one key thing I learned is have a couple chargers for your computer. If you forget one, you have a spare. And then, like all the notebooks you need, everything you need to write stuff down, and that what that day one looks like. So maybe you get to your Airbnb or you shut the door in your office. That day one, you'd probably think like, all right, let's start editing those podcasts. But actually, what you're doing is all those little things that you haven't done, like making a doctor's appointment, paying your bills, or getting them set up to pay automatically, answering those 18 emails you haven't done, or writing out thank you cards you never got around to. Those little things that nag us, they start to drain us. If it isn't completed, then it starts to like take away from our willpower. So this is when you can, I call it, it's like this productive procrastination. Like, I'm not going to work on my big project. I'm going to answer these emails, or I'm going to clean the washing machine. Like, go for it. Do it all. Like, set up every appointment, answer every email, whatever it takes to get those little things off your plate.
Now, I can totally identify with this because all throughout high school and college, whether I was, you know, in my room at home or my dorm room, I could never sit down at my desk and do homework or work on that report till I had cleaned off my desk, till I'd picked up all my clothes, till I'd maybe put some laundry in, vacuumed. I've got these dishes I need to go take to the dish, to kitchen sink. Oh, there's a bunch here. Let me do those, kind of thing. Like, I would do all those things, and it was almost like saying, okay, there's now nothing else to be done but the most important work, which is backwards to the approach of like prioritization.
Right.
But it's the right way to go about things if you're someone who is easily distracted, right?
Right. And think of it like a chef, that mise en place. They organize everything before they start to cook. They have everything chopped, everything cleaned, everything's laid out so that they can produce well. Because if the garbage isn't taken out or if the dishes are dirty, then that's a distraction, and it's not the best environment for our brains to kind of go, all right, now we're going to make this happen.
Totally. Yeah. So do you think that it's a good idea? I mean, recently I had Rob Hatch, who works with Chris Brogan, on the show. And one of the key things that he said he does when he's sitting down to really do focused work is he keeps a tangible pad and pen or pencil mm-hmm. nearby. And if something comes up like, oh, yeah, I forgot, I do need to make that doctor's appointment, or, oh, I did forget to pay that bill, he'll pull that over real quick, write it down, and then move it away again so that it's out of his mind. He knows that, yes, it's important, and it's important I capture that, but it's not so important it interrupts what I'm doing right now. I think what you're saying is you know what? You've already gotten out of Dodge, and you're in a state of shock, and you're kind of scrambling to think, okay, let me get some stuff done. I don't want to sit down just yet. Are you saying that maybe what we might want to do is capture or even go to our list of maybe we're already doing that captured list, maybe bring that list with you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I have mine saved in my Evernote. Some people call it their someday file or their little file of like all the tedious stuff they have to get done. Because you're getting done all the things that are boring. They're not that attractive. Like, oh, let me set up my bank to auto pay my bills. Like, it's not the most dazzling thing. people don't write about that on Medium. Like, oh my gosh, best maneuver ever. Yeah. So this kind of like just declutters your mind. And when your brain's like, make sure you do this, like, you now have that opportunity to do it.
And then you're going to have those things not pop up or not as much, or it'll be new things, but then you'll be like, nope, I just got a bunch done. Sorry.
Yep.
I'll write this down and I'll get to that when I'm back home or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And this, like, I mean, this is like getting quick wins. This is like,
yes,
warming up the oven. This is like, you know, getting momentum going.
Right. I did this. I was like, all right, what's something that is so painful to me? I could just, I was like, it was like, call my credit card company and ask for a lower rate. And I had been avoiding that for like months. And I was like, I'm doing it. And I played like Eye of the Tiger on my computer. And I grabbed the phone and I was like, hey, I just need this reduced so that I don't have to cancel your card because I have a better deal. And they're like, oh, no problem, sir. You know, and she like typed on the keyboard for like what seemed like forever. And then it was done. I can't believe like I put this off for so long, but I just didn't have that energy that like to build up and do something to me that was so painful.
I think the other key thing here, again, if we go to that staycation version of this, is there's definitely stuff around the house, like I was talking about with like high school and college, that you could get done, and it's still the equivalent of getting something done that needs to get done.
Yeah.
And is going to save you time later anyway. So don't feel guilty about it. Like,
no,
you're saying basically build it into the retreat. It's a productivity retreat for a reason.
Right.
Even if you're going to get this one major thing done, also keep in mind, you're going to get a lot of little stuff done too.
Yeah. You're clearing the path so that the road you're going to go down on day two and day three is much more clear. There's no bumps. There's no potholes. You're taking care of all that little that tedium to get it done.
No, I think the thing that is probably a good idea is to not go down rabbit trails in terms of like too many online tasks or even like taking breaks and saying I'm going to sit and watch one episode of such and such.
Right. Yeah. You're going to watch season one, episode one of like Battlestar Galactica. And then it's over, man. You just blew through that day.
Yeah, then it becomes the Portlandia sketch about.
Yeah, the Portlandia sketch. Oh, please put that in the show notes. Maybe the greatest moment in YouTube in history.
That I think is one of their peak sketches from that
so
show.
Good. And what I did a lot of to kind of battle that, like I did a lot of these things standing up, just so I wasn't like in a resting state. I'm like, I'm going to make these phone calls. I'm going to answer these emails. So I did a lot of it standing.
Oh, good call. What do you think about maybe using those things as, hey, I've been sitting for a while. I have been working on the main thing. I want a break. But instead of sitting and, again, watching episode one of something, I stand and run the vacuum and walk around and not do something digital, you know?
Yep. And you'll be shocked at what your brain will come up with. Like, hey, let's vacuum. Yeah, let's, you know, like you will be in this sweet agreement that you haven't had in a while of like, hey, let's cable manage all the cables underneath the desk that I never wanted to do. Let's do it. Like, and just, you'll keep building that momentum. And that sort of brings us to day two.
Well, hey, one quick thought here. You saying yes, let's made me think of the whole improv thing of the yes and.
Yes, you know?
So it's like, yes, I see you're vacuuming and I raise you, you know.
Cable managing under your desk.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
So we get all this stuff done. We get all this little stuff done. Whatever, again, there's no one right way to do this. Some people are like, oh, cringing as they hear us talk about this. Like, no, you're not getting anything done. Well, I'd argue we are. But at the same time,
absolutely.
This is getting, I mean, it's a psychological trick. Let's just be honest.
Right. So. Yeah. You're adding those wins. And then it's not going to bother you when you're on to, you know, those little things aren't going to be as loud and noisy on that day two.
Yeah.
And
you're setting up, you're setting up day two for success.
Mm-hmm.
You're setting up day two. That's the way you've got to look at day one, is you're setting up day two.
Yep.
So then we move into day two.
So this is game time. This is like, if you're working on that podcast editing, if you're working on getting that poetry book out the door to your editor, this is where you are doing deep focus, as Cal Newport would say. And I would say healthy breakfast in the morning, something quick. The night before, you've set up your work area. And that is when, you know, I tell people, hey, try to do 50 minutes of work, a 10-minute walk around, stretch, and then when that timer goes off for those 10 minutes, you sit back down and do that 50. And I would say, you know, I would have that notebook out, and if I'm like, oh, I wish I would have had time yesterday to do X, Y, or Z, you write it down, you acknowledge, hey, I'm going to get to that. That's what you, because your brain reminds us so we don't forget. It's not like an enemy. It's like, don't, you know, it just perceives every little thing as a threat. It perceives every little thing like, hey, this will cause you harm if you don't do it. So you just have to acknowledge it. Hey, this will happen. And then get back to that work. I was a huge protein guy on my day two, like beef jerky or whatever it was for protein. A lot of water. And I had to slow and steady my coffee intake. Like, just, you know, I couldn't like just pound cup after cup because I knew about 1 p.m. I'd be done. So I just had to like slow and steady that.
And I think we did learn this on the productivity pub crawl is, again, you know, mainlining too much coffee first thing, or even, you know, first, you know, 1, 2, 3 cups of coffee throughout the day. You're going to be so jittery if you don't pace yourself that you're almost giving permission to that voice to then distract you.
Oh, yeah.
Because your brain is overworking. And
right.
One of the things that I found is actually grabbing like a yerba mate tea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has caffeine, but because it's not in the coffee, and forgive me for all the lack of science here, but what it, and I'll speak from experience instead, is that it gives you that boost. It makes you feel more alert and awake, but the jitters aren't there for the most part.
Right.
So,
yeah, I was in Chattanooga, Tennessee when I did this. So they didn't have a lot of matcha options. So Starbucks it was. So
even a green tea, I think, is
even a green tea.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this day two, and it is where you are just cranking out that work. I had a buddy of mine who I just said, hey, I'll call you at this time to let you know my progress. And he's like, all right, you know, he's like, okay. Like, he didn't have any skin in the game, but it was just my way of saying, hey, at 1 p.m., I have to call Tim and say, hey, this is how much I got done.
That's a good idea. Accountability is huge.
Yeah, that accountability. And I didn't want to make it like an episode of 24 where it was like counting down, and if I didn't get it done, I had to write him a check for $100. I was like, you know, this is kind of an experiment, this 3-day productivity retreat. So let's see, you know, what's going on. But I knew at 1 o'clock and at 4 o'clock, I had to let him know. And once I was done with dinner, I was kind of done for the day, unless it was something really small that kind of low focus that I didn't really need.
Yeah, definitely. So what kind of pacing are we looking at here? I mean, how do you start off the day in this second day? And how do you pace yourself to that maybe 1 o'clock call and beyond?
So I would say, like before, a healthy breakfast, I get to work, and when it hits lunchtime, right after lunch, I go for a walk. So I kind of just, you know, the food's digesting. I can avoid that like lunch slump that we can have when we're like sitting down after eating lunch. And I kind of say, all right, how am I doing so far? I check in with myself. You know, what's this afternoon going to look like? I probably just listen to music. I don't listen to like a podcast because it's like all this information. Like just I'm kind of letting my brain just kind of, you know, it's been creating all day. Like give it a let's give it a minute. And then about after an hour after lunch, I'm back at it.
And now, did you take a real lunch? Because I know, again, you mentioned the beef jerky and the water and the healthy snacks, not the carbs. Do you feel like you need a real lunch or a, not a big lunch, but like a legit, like, I don't know, something sustenance-wise?
Yeah. I don't want to run. Yeah, I do a real lunch because it's one, it's kind of my reward that, hey, I'm on day two of this. I've gotten my work done. Three, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to run an empty on day two. This is the most important day. And I just am kind of just kind of resetting for that afternoon push because I don't want to burn out. Yeah. And also I want to enjoy it. I don't want to drive away from this place being like, oh, that, I got this done, but it was horrible. Like I want it to be, you know, something enjoyable. And especially if you're in a new town, a new place, I like to try new restaurants, things like that. So, you know, I do that.
We got sushi because we thought, oh, I know. That's filling, that's healthy, but it's not going to make me feel like Thanksgiving dinner open my belt, kind of tired.
Exactly. So. Yeah, that's perfect, yeah. And then I, you know, I work until it's dinner time and make that last, you know, I make another accountability phone call to say, hey, this is what I got done on day two.
Now, in terms of this second day in the way that you've described your pacing and all that kind of stuff, and even during lunch, where you're thinking about, well, one, you're taking a break, which is great, a more extended break. But then two, you're thinking about the rest of the afternoon and what you need to do. Do you do any kind of preparatory breakdown of what you want to do in those, you know, intervals or cycles and all that?
The type of work I was doing, it was just, I was batch writing just blog entries.
Gotcha.
And I was trying to do as many and trying to get I had gotten to this habit of like, oh yeah, I'll totally send you that guest post. Absolutely. It will be on your and I'm like, because all at once I had like five requests. Eric, I might have trouble saying no. And I was like, sure, yes, absolutely. And I was like, oh no. Like I've done this to myself. So it was like, hey, I've got to get these five guest posts out the door. When I'm done with that, I'm going to batch write my blog as much as I can. So it was, hey, I've got to crank out about, and this is no joke, about like 7,000 words. So I was like, all right, we're on a marathon.
Yeah.
Let's go. You know, and so I knew like by 10 o'clock, I had to have like 1,600 done by,
okay.
You know what I mean? So it wasn't as much like I wrote out a schedule, like an itinerary, but it was like, hey, I need to be on mile 6 by this time, or I'm falling behind.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. It's kind of, you kind of know where you should be at by about that time in terms of how hard you're working and how hard you're pushing yourself and your pacing, and especially looking at it like a race.
Right.
A marathon.
Yeah.
So you finished lunch, you've moved into the afternoon, you're moving towards your maybe your second accountability call to kind of close out the day. Do you do anything in terms of like – some people would say, well, I've got this – I'm in a new place and I've got this evening. I could do work, or do you take advantage of – and I'm kind of saying you could go either way with this, but do you take advantage of I'm out of town and no one's bugging me. I can get more done now, or do you do the, hey, I'm in a new place. Let me go, you know – reward myself with something fun this evening.
I had it scheduled in that I had a friend of mine who was in town in that town, and I planned a dinner with him, and it also lit a fire under my rear end to get that work done, so that I wasn't like lamenting being with him, being like, oh, I didn't get it done, and now I have this that was a motivation to get that done, so that I was free to spend this time with him. Because I find that when you have like all those day one little activities and that day two, man, you're kind of under a deadline. It takes away from you being able to socialize with people. Your brain kind of splits into different areas. Like you got to get this done. You're, you're not really present, I guess we'd say. You're not all there. And by the end of day two, I wanted to be all there and have a nice dinner with my friend and catch up and do that. And you know, I didn't want to grind myself into the ground on this retreat, because I think I would need like another retreat when I was done. So I was like, all right, you know, dinner time, we're going to be done and we'll go from there.
Cool. So you close out day two. How are you starting in on day three, and what's the goals for day three?
Ooh, great question. Day three. Day three is like your big picture. So we've kind of done, if you use the analogy, like we did like the 100-foot view on day one, where we're like, we're going to do the things that are just nagging us. We're at 1,000 feet now. We're doing these bigger projects. And then day three, we're at 10,000-foot view. And I would say it's like, what are the big pictures you want, the big goals you want around the areas of like travel, financial, family, friendships, career, fitness? What are some bigger goals you want to work on, you know, for the next year? Maybe it's like, hey, I want a collection of poetry out by May. Maybe you want to be completely out of credit card debt by July. You want to attend these conferences. And so you're like, all right, how am I going to move money towards that goal? This is more reflective time. You've finished the marathon, and now this is like a long walk on the beach to say like, all right, now what am I looking at big picture wise?
You've done that flurry of activity the first day.
Yes.
And then you've done the focused activity the second day. And so then the reflection and kind of the vision, self-vision casting, if you will.
Yes.
Is this third day.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah. And so it's a time to journal, and there isn't a wrong way to do this, but it's just like, take some time to journal, take some time to call good friends of yours and kind of reflect on like, hey, what do you think of this? But you're leaving with a plan. You're leaving with, hey, this is what my next big picture is for this year or even the next 3 to 5 years. And I suggest having like a dedicated journal for that. Whatever it is to kind of think on those things.
Very cool. And so are you making literal plans are you transferring from like dreaming time into concrete steps of how to accomplish those or?
Yeah, I would probably spend the morning on those like, hey, what's the dream? What do you want to do? Have a nice lunch. And then after lunch, you're going to put the wheels on and say, all right, how am I going to get it there and write out those goals? How my brain works, like I like to do all the dreaming and then do all the planning instead of switching back and forth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that way every dream is down. And then in the afternoon, every plan is made, as opposed to if I dream and like, oh, I want to, you know, complete this book. Well, I got to write this and I got to research this. And by the time it's like, oh, I didn't get to do, how am I going to spend more time with my family? Or what are some important things I want to do with my children and stuff like that?
One of the things that I want to kind of bring up here is the fact that for some people, they're going to want to try and figure out different versions of this retreat. Because again,
yeah,
they'll say, one, I either don't have 3 days or part of my first day and part of my third day are going to be travel time, like three hours or more of drive time or, you know, depending upon what availability they have to like go somewhere. So
Sure. That's
definitely something to consider. The other thing I'm noticing as I'm thinking about this is your day one stuff, your day two stuff, and your day three stuff are all things that I will break out into singular activities and literally go to the coffee shop for 2 hours and do in and of itself. But
yeah,
I think this is a cool little system to like do it all at once and kind of make yourself feel good, you know?
Yeah. And you could break this up in different ways. You could do like, hey, I can't really leave the house. I have triplets. They're like 6 months. I'm like, all right, yeah, that's a no-go on that. But maybe just for 3 days in the morning, you're just doing that day one, day two, day three. Or, you know, if you're doing drive time, I would turn on the voice recorder on your phone and just kind of talk out all the little things you have to get done on your way back on day three. Talk about the goals you want to have, the dreams you want to accomplish, you know, and just put it in, you know, just record it. And that way you still have got some great time.
Yeah, there's definitely some, again, so there's no rigid structure like we've just walked through that you absolutely right. have to adhere to make no. sure you're doing it right. But this is one version. This is a version of it that really works for you. But I think the most important thing we can touch on here is letting any one of these three different days focused activities, the, you know, the flurry of activity, the focused activity, or the reflection, letting any one of those things go too long in your life right. without doing right. is going to make you feel like you're just a wreck.
Right. Exactly.
So again, so there's lots of different ways that you can approach this. Again, this is one approach. There are multiple approaches as we've kind of started to, you know, break down a little bit extra here on the back end. Mm-hmm. But I know that you've got like a cheat EF. That's a PDF
trademark.
You can cheat EF trademark. You've got a PDF cheat sheet for this thing that you that people can go grab. So I want to make sure I'm going to list that in the I'm going to throw that in the show notes for people.
I know people are driving and they're like, wait a minute, I need what is this? Yeah, we'll just put it in the show notes. And they can download that. I'd love for them to have it.
Yeah, they're like, I like listening to you guys and everything, but I don't want to have to listen back to this. If you could just give me this in like a breakdown, that'd be great. So we did. It'll be in this episode's show notes. So there you go.
Great.
So I really hope this is helpful. I think it will be. I think, you know, this is one of those short, sweet, to the point, consider doing this or some version of this for yourself to amp up your productivity.
If your listeners do one of these, I'd love to hear how it goes.
Yeah, so that's so like we try to do more often than not. I will, in the closing here, give you the link to the show notes where you can find all the things we referenced here in this episode, as well as that's where you can go and leave comments, and Ryan and I will both interact with you there.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Ryan, it is always awesome to have you back on the show. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Eric.
So, what I want to know is, are you going to plan yourself a productivity retreat for 3 days or one day or a weekend, even somewhere in your schedule? Think about it, look at your calendar, figure it out, plan one, and then let us know how it goes. You can let us know, me and Ryan, at the show notes for this episode, which you can find at beyondthetodolist.com/178. If you got something out of this episode, and while you were listening, you thought of somebody else who really needs to listen to it, while you're there in the show notes for this episode, click share. Share it with them. Email, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. Whatever the best way is to get a hold of them and let them know that this topic could help them out. Think of that person and share it with them. Also, again, apply for Seth Godin's Alt-MBA workshop. They are enrolling for summer and fall acceptances right now. All you have to do to apply and learn more is go to altmba.com/todo. That's altmba.com/todo. And you can get special consideration if you mention this podcast when you submit your application. Thanks again for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I know you probably got something great out of it. I will see you next episode. Beyond the To-Do List is a proud member of the Noodle Mix Network. Find more of our award-winning and award-nominated podcasts to make you think, laugh, and succeed at noodle.mx.